With about 30 breweries in operation and more on the way, the beer industry in Arkansas is growing. According to the Brewers Association, the industry had a nearly $406 million economic impact on the state in 2016. Brewing in Arkansas has exploded in recent years, but the state has a much longer history with beer. Brian Sorensen explores the drinks past in the natural state in his new book, Arkansas Beer, An Intoxicating History. Earlier this month, he stopped by Studio 123 to speak with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda. Brian has a longtime love affair with beer, so he began his story with the beer that started it all.
The first beer that I tried was most certainly a domestic lager of some sort. As a young boy, you know, raiding the neighbor's beer fridge. You know, a good friend of mine, a kid the same age as me, you know, I'm sure it was a Miller or a Bud or something. But, you know, as I progressed through college and went through the typical evolution of fizzy light, yellow, industrial pilsners to finding something more flavorful. The late 90s was a time when Fat Tire was starting to emerge. People would go on ski trips to Colorado and return to Fayetteville and say, ooh, there's this wonderful beer, and it's nutty, and it's biscuity, and it's brown, and it's called Fat Tire. And folks would bring that back in their duffel bags, and we would enjoy that. But to fast forward a few years, really, I think the turning point for me was Sierra Nevada Stout.
Oh.
And for most people, it's the pale ale.
Yeah, I don't know that I've had the stout.
The stout is a wonderful, dark, rich, roasty, but bitter version of a stout, and it really hit the spot.
Huh. So what got you interested in doing more than just drinking beer? Because I think you brew, and then you write about it for the Flyer, Fayetteville Flyer.
That's right. As my interest in beer started to take off, I met some guys in a local Sunday school class, of all places, Ashley Goodwin and Steve Field. I count them as good friends now, but they were my introduction to home brewing. Those fellas had brewed for years prior to me meeting them in Sunday school, and I went to a party one day at Steve's house, and he had a wonderful homebrewed beer on tap. Over the years, the style of the beer kind of slips my mind, but in my mind, it was a wonderful fruit-flavored stout. And whatever it was, it really piqued my interest. And I said, Steve, where did you get this wonderful keg of beer? And he said, I brewed it. And as they say, the rest is history. Started to dive in, get really geeky about home brewing. There's lots of equipment and process and science, and you can go as deep as you want, and really fell in love with not just the product, but also the process. And then ultimately, as I got into writing about beer, I fell in love with the people and the stories behind the people that make the good beer.
Well, how did you get into writing? Because you work in HR.
That's right.
For Tyson.
Yeah, so I have a little bit of a creative interest. I've always enjoyed writing. I studied liberal arts in college. Specifically, I was a sociology major here at the University of Arkansas. Cultural anthropology was an interest area. I loved ethnographies, which plays really well into writing about beer because there is a subculture within a subculture within a subculture to identify and really explore. And I've always had a penchant for writing. Even as I got into the business world, I found that a lot of leaders and coworkers would lean on me to write about whatever the topic was at work. I worked in training and development. I've written curriculum, training curriculum, business memos, just you name it. And then as I went to work in a different industry, I met some folks associated with the Fayetteville Flyer. At the time, J.T. Wampler of Tanglewood Branch fame was writing the beer reviews, and he started his own brewery, obviously, in South Fayetteville and didn't have much time left over to continue writing about beer. And so I tapped Todd Gill on the shoulder, and I said, hey, do you have interest in continuing the beer review series? And if so, would you give me a shot at doing it? And he obliged me. I submitted an example of my writing, and he said, okay, I'll publish that. And I really saw it as a rough draft, so I was tickled pink to, you know, for him to respond in that way. And just as I did with home brewing, I just really got geeky, and I went deep, and I fell in love with the writing process, and beer reviews turned into brewer profiles, which turned into industry commentary, and it's been a lot of fun to explore because, for all intents and purposes, my writing career in the beer industry has really followed right alongside the growth of the industry, so there's been a ton to write about.
Yeah, it was good timing, really, to get into it. Did you ever think that you would write a book?
Not necessarily. I wasn't looking for a publisher. I wasn't really planning to write a book. But Arcadia Publishing, the History Press, who put this book together for me. They started a series about local beer industries, and whether it was a whole state, as is the case with Arkansas, mm-hmm. or a smaller metro area such as Nashville, Tennessee, they've got a number of titles in the series now, and they were looking for someone to write about Arkansas. Most assuredly, the news about Arkansas beer and the growth of our industry hit the mainstream. People were starting to pick up on what was going on in Fayetteville and Little Rock specifically, and so they were looking for somebody through the power of the internet, and I'm sure a really nice Google search, they found me. They found the column on the flyer, and they reached out through the contact page on the Fayetteville flyer. I had to think about it a little while. Of course, I do have a day job. I've got a young family that really needs my time, and I had to really think about it. But ultimately, I decided that if someone was going to write about the Arkansas beer industry in this kind of way, I really wanted it to be me. I really couldn't live with the idea that someone else would do that when I had put so much work and effort into it to that point. So as the process played out, I supplemented the exploration that I had done in Northwest Arkansas with real-time exploration in the Little Rock market and beyond. In fact, I conducted over 70 interviews for this project in addition to all of the facts, figures, and data that I had previously pulled. So it's pretty extensive. It went on for about 12 months. Mm. And finally, I got to wipe the sweat from my brow when it was released on September 11th.
Were you surprised to find that the history of beer in the state went back as far as it did? Because for me, and I guess I just don't know as much about it, I don't really think of it starting until more recently with, you know, craft brewing. Mm-hmm. And it didn't really occur to me that there would have been brewing in the 1800s.
For most people, when they think about craft beer in Arkansas, they, much like you, they think about the last 5, 6, maybe mm-hmm. 7 years, because that's where most of the growth has occurred. As I thought about the history of beer, it was easy to assume that people were brewing back in the 1800s, but not a lot was written. Perhaps the most notable example of brewing in the 19th century was Joseph Noble down in Fort Smith. And the reason that we know so much about Noble's Brewery, which opened around 1848, is because the building still stands. The Carl Wartz family, they had a biscuit company down in Fort Smith. They were a really well-known and well-off business family. They purchased the old building and turned it into a museum of sorts in the 1960s. And Mr. Wartz did a lot of research himself. Ultimately, the structure was placed on the National Historic Register, and so we know a lot about Joseph Noble. And but beyond that, there wasn't much on the written record. As we dug back, I had some assistance from a couple of Little Rock brewers, in fact, Leah Lambert and Ian Beard of Stone Throw Brewing. They are historical researchers in their own right, and they have worked in the museum space down in the Little Rock area. And in preparation for an event, they dug into some historical records and found evidence of the George family brewing in the, you know, around about the 1840s in the Little Rock market. And whether it's the George brothers in Little Rock or later Joseph Noble in Fort Smith or just a few years later, the Little Rock Brewing and Ice Company, really we can point to German Americans as the catalyst for brewing in our state. And to answer your question, coming full circle back to your question, it really doesn't surprise me, because as we look across more broadly in the United States, we see that German immigrants really played a key role in introducing brewing. And whether it was on a hyper-local level, literally brewing for your family or for your closest neighbors, or opening a saloon like they had in downtown Fort Smith in the late 1800s, we can really thank them for their efforts.
And Prohibition obviously put the brakes on the development of brewing and beer in the state, but it wasn't until the 80s that somebody tried to take another crack at it. Why did it take so long?
That's a great question. When the Little Rock Brewing and Ice Company closed its brewing operation in 1915, there wasn't much to speak of until 1984 when Arkansas Brewing Company opened in Little Rock. Why did it take nearly 70 years to close that gap? Well, tastes had changed. Prohibition really changed the game in terms of the beer market. What once was a very local industry, much like we see today, where any given community might have one or two or maybe five breweries that supply the local community, beer had become an industrial staple, more of a commodity. There was consolidation in the markets, and it was the big brewers, the folks that, you know, a lot of people will turn their nose up to these days, but certainly have been very successful. Anheuser-Busch, Miller, Coors, even going into some other historical brands like Pabst and Hams and so on and so forth, they really took a stranglehold on the market. People's palates changed through the decades between Prohibition and the opening of Arkansas Brewing Company. We can look at other food categories and see homogenization going on. You know, the emergence of TV dinners, for example, industrial packaged foods. And that's just the way that things went. And Arkansans lost touch with the history of flavor in beer. It became more about the light lagers we know today. It became more about price point for Arkansans, who have historically been strapped for cash in relation to their peers in other markets. And, you know, William Lyon, who was the founder of Arkansas Brewing Company, and coincidentally, or I should say interestingly, the former mayor of Fordyce, Arkansas, he opened Arkansas Brewing Company and really set the stage. And although he didn't have much success in the 2 years of operation, he put the seed in people's mind that an Arkansas-born brewing company could stake its place in the market. And, you know, as laws changed, it became easier for new brewers to enter the markets. Microbrewery restaurants, a.k.a. brew pubs, were legalized in 1991, and the Weedman family opened their own in Fort Smith in 92, followed shortly thereafter by Vino's in Little Rock. And, of course, if you live in Fayetteville, you know the legacy of Ozark Brewing Company on Dixon Street in downtown Fayetteville. And that really started the next wave of brewing.
Given the hurdles presented by laws, are you surprised that the industry in Arkansas has grown as much as it has, especially in the last couple of years?
Am I surprised? Not really. Mm-hmm. I see Arkansas following national trends, which is food as a local thing. It's a local food stuff. It's like the farmer's market. It's like farm to table. People want to know the farmer who supplies the hog for the bacon. Drinkers really enjoy knowing the brewer who made the beer that fills their pint glass. And that's not unique to Arkansas, but certainly we have embraced it. We've embraced it much more than perhaps neighboring states have embraced it. And so it doesn't surprise me to see the explosion in brewing in Northwest Arkansas, Little Rock, and more recently in areas outside of those major metro areas. You know, I can think about a handful of breweries such as Preston Rose, which sits in Paris, Arkansas. I can think of Gravity Brew Works, which sits in Big Flat, Arkansas. Recently, Raps Baron Brewing Company, which opened in Mountain Home. These are not major markets, but surely there are plenty of thirsty drinkers that want to enjoy something made within the community. And so it goes along with national trends. It just so happens that Arkansas, unlike perhaps Oklahoma, Mississippi, Alabama, some of our peers here under the Bible Belt, Arkansas has been placed in a position that it can capitalize on those trends. It can promote growth within the industry and help brewers make a solid living for themselves and their families through the process.
So you've had a couple of book signings since this has come out. What's the reaction kind of been? I mean, you're a first-time author, so I'm sure you weren't quite sure what to expect.
Right. I haven't seen the numbers from the publisher yet. I sent them an email yesterday. I told them I'm morbidly curious to know what the sales numbers are because I'm not sure exactly what the traffic and demand has been at Amazon, Barnes & Noble,
sure,
and some of those big box type retailers. Locally, the reaction has been tremendous. I found through the writing and research process brewers to be very open, very excited, very supportive of the project. And now that it's finally here, it's been no different. The support from them has been tremendous. A number of breweries have reached out asking for book signing events. Everybody seems excited. You know, it's nice for people to be able to go to one source and not only get the history, but also get an overview of the present. And what I hope this does is supplement people's knowledge of what's going on in our state, but also supplement visitors as they plan their trip to Arkansas and inevitably visit all the breweries that provide a little snapshot into the soul of our communities. I find myself as a traveler doing the same thing. When my wife and I travel the U.S. or internationally, we tend to visit the local breweries and tap rooms because it becomes really a microcosm of the larger community. You can get a sense of who the people are, what their beliefs are, their particular bonds with one another. And I know that beer tourism has become such a big thing for Arkansas. Nearly 36,000 barrels brewed in 2016, and that represents a 50% increase over the previous year. So this thing's really taken off, and it's hopefully allowing a lot of people to support themselves and their families through the process.
Well, congratulations on your first book, and thanks for coming in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Brian Sorensen speaking with Ozarks at Large's Antoinette Grajeda inside the Carver Center for Public Radio earlier this month. He's the author of Arkansas Beer, An Intoxicating History, and he'll be signing copies of his book Sunday afternoon at 3 at Apple Blossom Brewing Company in Fayetteville, and then on Thursday, October 26th, he'll be at Saddleback Brewery. You can keep up with Brian by following him on Twitter. His handle is @EBSorensen.